Let's read together Hosea chapter 4. Now in this chapter, we have God's message of judgment against the ancient northern kingdom of Israel. And it has plenty of practical application for today as well. Let's begin by reading verses 1 through 6. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying, killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. Therefore the land will mourn, and everyone who dwells there will waste away with the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Even the fish of the sea will be taken away. Now let no man contend or rebuke another, for your people are like those who contend with a priest. Therefore you shall stumble in the day. The prophet also shall stumble with you in the night, and I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. Let's begin our study of Hosea chapter 4 by considering some background notes. In chapters 1 through 3 of Hosea, we had the record of Hosea's domestic life. Remember, God directed Hosea to marry a woman named Gomer, who was unfaithful to Hosea and left him and committed adultery. It looks like Gomer even sunk to the level of becoming a prostitute slave. But then God directed Hosea to go buy back his wife from her pitiful condition, and after many days, reestablish his love relationship with her. We saw in our studies of Hosea thus far that all of this was an object lesson of God's relationship with Israel. Israel was considered as married to the Lord. They were God's special people. But Israel had departed from the Lord and committed spiritual adultery with the foreign gods. For these sins, Israel would be judged. But God still loves the Jewish people, and he will bring them back. We believe this return of Israel to the Lord is still in the future. The present return of the Jews to the land and the reestablishment of the secular state of Israel is only the beginning of what's to come in the future. There will come a great spiritual revival amongst the Jewish people in the future, and they will return to the Lord. In fact, they will receive their Messiah that they once rejected. It's a great future to look forward to. The love relationship between God and Israel will be reestablished. All of this, you see, is illustrated in the relationship between Hosea and Gomer in chapters 1 through 3 of Hosea. Now, beginning in chapter 4 and continuing throughout the rest of the book, we have excerpts from Hosea's sermons to Israel. These were given over the course of his long ministry to the northern kingdom of Israel. Well, so much for background for chapter 4. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points. Doctrinal point number 1. God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. The prophets and the priests in Israel were not communicating the word of God. They were not communicating the law of the Lord to the people. As a result, the nation was going to the dogs and destroying itself. They were in a self-destruct mode because they had rejected knowledge and they had forgotten the law of the Lord. Notice in verses 1 and 2, the sins that follow this lack of knowledge. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying, killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. You know, if you didn't know that I was reading the prophet Hosea here, you'd swear I was reading a description of conditions in our own country today, right? How sad, but how true. Just listen to the news or read a newspaper. Notice from verse 3. How ecological and environmental problems stem from man's sin. Verse 3, therefore the land will mourn, And everyone who dwells there will waste away. With the beasts of the field and the birds of the air, even the fish of the sea will be taken away. I mean, trees don't sin. Beasts don't sin. Birds don't sin. Man sins. Man sins, but everything is affected. Verses 4 and 5 indicate that the prophets and priests were as corrupt as the people. Therefore, their mother, verse 5, that is, the nation Israel, would be destroyed. In verse 6, God said that because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. You know, according to Exodus chapter 19, Israel was to be a kingdom of priests before the Lord. But they lost that privilege because they rejected the knowledge of God's word. God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. The same is true today. America is a so-called Christian country. How well does the average American know the Bible? How well does the average teenager in our country know the moral principles of Scripture? How well does the average child in our nation know the way of salvation? The people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Praise God for churches that faithfully present the truth of God's word week by week so that people can learn and gain the right kind of knowledge. But let me ask you this morning, how well do you know your Bible? How well, for example, do you know the principles of God's word that come from the minor prophet Hosea? Aren't you glad you're here this morning to study and learn about what's in God's word in the minor prophet Hosea? You know, and it wouldn't hurt to send your teenagers to Emmaus Bible College. They can gain some knowledge of God's word. Remember, God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Doctrinal point number 2. God's people suffer because of idolatry. God's people suffer because of idolatry. Verses 7 through 19. The more they increase, the more they sinned against me. I will change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people. They set their heart on their iniquity. And it shall be like people, like priests. So I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their deeds. For they shall eat, but not have enough. They shall commit harlotry, but not increase, because they have ceased obeying the Lord. Harlotry, wine, and new wine enslave the heart. My people ask counsel from their wooden idols, and their staff informs them. For the spirit of harlotry has caused them to stray, and they have played the harlot against their God. They offer sacrifices on the mountaintops and burn incense on the hills, under oaks, poplars, and terebinths, because their shade is good. Therefore your daughters commit harlotry, and your brides commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they commit harlotry, nor your brides when they commit adultery. For the men themselves go apart with harlots and offer sacrifices with a ritual harlot. Therefore, the people who do not understand will be trampled. Though you, Israel, play the harlot, let not Judah offend. Do not come up to Gilgal, nor go up to Beth-Aven, nor swear an oath saying, as the Lord lives. For Israel is stubborn, like a stubborn calf. Now the Lord will let them forage like a lamb in open country. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Their drink is rebellion. They commit harlotry continually. Her rulers dearly love dishonor. The wind has wrapped her up in its wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices. The sacrifices that we read about here in these verses were not being offered to the Lord, but rather to idols. Look at verse 12 and verse 17. True worship, you see, true worship to the Lord was focused at the temple down south in Jerusalem. But the people here in the northern kingdom of Israel were offering sacrifices on any mountaintop or hill or any tree. Verse 13. The southern kingdom of Judah is warned about coming up to these idolatrous shrines. Verse 15. Though you, Israel, play the harlot, let not Judah offend. Do not come up to Gilgal, nor go up to Beth-Aven. Notice Hosea's play on words here. Bethel, where one of these shrines was, Bethel means house of God. But Hosea changes it to Beth-Aven, meaning house of evil. Furthermore, Israel had set up their own priesthood here in the north. This went all the way back to King Jeroboam I, the first king of the northern kingdom of Israel. This priesthood was not in the line of Aaron. They were not Levitical priests. And these priests were as corrupt as the people, as we see in verses 8 and 9. Furthermore, Israel had stooped to the level of sexual immorality in their idolatrous worship. The surrounding pagan nations had temple prostitutes and practiced fertility rites. The northern kingdom of Israel was doing the same thing. Look at verses 13 and 14. As a result of all this idolatry and immorality, the people suffered. You would think that the people would have repented and returned to the Lord, but they would not turn back to the Lord. Look at verses 9 and 10. So I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their deeds, for they shall eat but not have enough. They shall commit harlotry but not increase, because they have ceased obeying the Lord. The people suffered because of idolatry. They were like a stubborn calf. Verse 16, for Israel is stubborn, like a stubborn calf. Now the Lord will let them forage like a lamb in open country. That is, they would suffer like unprotected lambs, without a shepherd, in open country, where the wolves and other natural predators abounded. God's people suffer because of idolatry. And what was true in Israel then in that day is true today. God's people suffer because of idolatry. Folks, idols are all around us. Let me ask you this morning, is the Lord number one in your life in every area? If not, it's because of some idol, something that has taken the place of the Lord and has control in that area of your life. And as a result, you're suffering loss in some way. God's people always suffer because of idolatry. Let's move now to our practical application. Don't think that God has a double standard. Don't think that God has a double standard. Verse 14, once again, I will not punish your daughters when they commit harlotry, nor your brides when they commit adultery. For the men themselves go apart with harlots and offer sacrifices with a ritual harlot. Therefore, people who do not understand will be trampled. Some of the people then, like today, thought that God should punish the women who were involved in sexual immorality, but not the men. After all, it's a man's world. Men should be able to get away with it. For men, there's a different standard. No way, says God. I will not punish the women without punishing the men. All will be punished. There is no double standard with God. I trust there is no one here this morning who thinks that God has one moral standard for women and another, less rigid, moral standard for men. No way. Not according to the Bible. Don't think that God has a double standard.